ॐ सहनावतु सहनौभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितां भगवता नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणं मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्ब त्वामनुसन्ददामि भगवत् भवद्वेषिणि यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुतः स्तुवन्ति दिव्यैस्तवै वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं सामगा ध्यानावस्थिततत् गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनः यस्यान्तं न विदुत्सुरासुरगणा देवाय तस्मै सच्चिदानन्दरूपाय विश्वोत्पत्ति त्यादिहेतवे तापत्रय विनाशाय श्रीकृष्णाय वयं नमः। ॐ श्रीगणेशाय नमः। ॐ श्रीसरस्वत्यै नमः। ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः।
हरि ओम्। We are in the 18th, the last chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. As we had discussed before, the 18th chapter is a summary of the entire Bhagavad Gita in its shlokas. It's a fairly lengthy chapter. And currently we are discussing karma or actions and all the aspects of karma, of any action that we carry out. The first point is jnanam. Jnanam means the vision. What vision do I have when I am performing the action? And that can be sattvic, rajasic or tamasic. It can be pure sattvic, can be passionate rajasic, or can be low. And then after the vision, who is the karta? Who is the doer? Who am I, that the one that is doer of the actions? The next is buddhi, or the equipment that I have to carry out my vision. So one is the vision, and the second is the implementation. So that is buddhi. So jnanam, karta and buddhi. And that karta includes all the equipments, my sense organs, my organs of action, all that, which carry out the action. Next is the karma. the actual action that I perform. It could be sattvic pure, could be rajasic or tamasic, pure passion or low. So all of these, the karta can be sattvic, rajasic, tamasic, the buddhi and so on. And then while I am doing the actions, there might be obstacles on my path. And so how do I overcome the obstacles? By dhriti or by persistence. And that also can be sattvic, rajasic or tamasic. One persistence is that I persist in doing my noble action, or another one is persistence in doing selfish actions, which is rajasic, or persistence in doing the wrong actions, which is destructive, is tamasic. So everything can be sattvic, rajasic or tamasic. The vision, the implementation, the doer, his instruments, and how he or she overcomes obstacles. The last topic in this section is called sukham or joy. What is the joy I get by performing all these actions? So we had studied last week the sattvic sukha or the sattvic joy. And what is that? Yatadhagre vishamiva pariname mritopamam tat sukham rajasik sattvik proktam atma buddhi prasadajam. That was shloka number 37 that we had discussed last week. Chapter 18, shloka 37. So in that, Bhagavan Sri Krishna tells us that what is sattvik sukham? Sattvik sukham is the joy that we obtain when we connect the mind to the self, when we are always connected to the self, the consciousness. That's also what was our topic today for meditation. This morning, when my thoughts, when my mind is connected with the self, I experience a joy that arises from within and takes me upwards on my spiritual journey. So this upward progression of my life is called sattvic joy. So pure joy, which is sattvic, sukha, and which is arises from within. It's not due to the object. It is due to experiencing God's presence within us as consciousness, as the self. And that is sattvic joy, and that nobody can take away from us. So that is what the topic is, whether my joy in life is sattvic, rajasic, or tamasic. And in the beginning, sattvic sukha may involve effort, but the result is good. So the example we had studied last week, like a child, his mother or father tells him, you have to study, you can't go and play all the time, you can't be on your phone or computer all the time, you need to study. And he'll say, oh, mom, I don't want to study, I've already studied. But the parents are strict. And he may at that moment complain, you know, that I want to play and look at my parents, they never listen to me. But pariname amritopamam, but the result will be good. The parents know that, that little bit of strictness. He may not like it at that moment, but that is sattvic sukham, that in the beginning it appears difficult. And it's the same thing in any field. You know, you learn a new profession or you go to college and you work hard in the beginning and stay up nights, and, you know, but you get good grades and then you get a good career. You're very successful. It's in everything. When in the beginning appears difficult, and same thing, meditation, you get up at 5 a.m. and, you know, you decide to meditate, do some puja, some yoga. In the beginning, it says, "Arey, subah subah kaun uthega?" You know, it's so cold, it's so dark. But as you do that, you realize that the joy is much higher, because through that meditation, through that yoga, through that puja prayer, you experience that atma sukha, the joy of self. So that is sattvic. That is the pure sukham. Today we will talk about rajasic and tamasic. Rajasic means passionate and tamasic means low. So there is joy in sattvic activities, there is joy in passionate activities, and there is also joy in lower activities, because everybody does activities for joy. You know, without pleasure, nobody will do. Nobody will do something deliberately that is unpleasant. So today we'll talk about rajasic and tamasic joy. I just summarized the sattvic from last week. So shloka number 38. The points are here, which you can follow also on the board. Shloka number 38. These are the points I use just to cover my talk. So chapter 18, shloka number 38. Vishayendriya samyogat.
Vishayendriya samyogat.
Yattadagre mritopamam.
Yattadagre mritopamam.
Pariname vishamiva.
Pariname vishamiva.
Tat sukham rajasam smritam.
Tat sukham rajasam smritam.
So the last quarter is tat sukham rajasam smritam. So that joy is said to be rajasic, which is passionate, which is due to activity, not due to knowledge. And how do we get this particular joy? So Vishaya Indriya Samyoga. So the senses come in contact with objects and then we get joy. I see something pleasant, hear something pleasant, eat something pleasant, touch something pleasant, smell something good. So Sparsha Rupa Rasa Raga. Rasa Gandha. Shabda Sparsha Rupa Rasa Gandha. So the sounds, the sights, smells, taste, and touch. So with the contact of objects, I get joy. And in the beginning, this joy appears very nice. Amritopamam, which is very good. But in the long run, Pariname Vishamiva. Later on, the same joy becomes like poison. And that is called rajasic. So does that mean an enlightened sattvic master does not contact the world? He does not see, hear, smell, taste, touch? Everybody has to do that. Whether it's a sattvic, rajasic or tamasic person, whether a child, whether a grown up, whether an animal, bird, fish, they all contact the world through the senses. But the understanding should be that if I derive excessive joy from that, and my whole life joy depends on sense objects, then that joy is called rajasic. And why is that? Because any contact with any sense object, the joy is temporary. This object gives me joy, a new car. After a while, the car starts breaking down, gives me sorrow. A new spouse, I just got married, it's a lot of joy. Then, you know, situations change. A child gives great joy until he becomes a teenager. Then, are ye rakshas kahan se aa gaya? So, not that all teenagers, but I mean, that's just a point. A new job. Anything, you know, in the beginning, either the object changes or I change. I used to like this thing. Now I don't like it anymore. It's become boring. So either I change or the object changes or my senses change. I used to, you know, love to watch movies, but now my eyesight is going down and my eyes hurt when I watch movies. So the same object that used to give me a lot of joy does not give any joy because it is temporary. But in fact, Shankaracharya ji says that attachment to sense objects will only take you downwards. Just as connection with God or the self takes you upwards, this will take you downwards. And why is that? Because he says, bala rupa prajna dhana utsaha hani. And I'll explain the meaning of each. So he says the bala, the strength goes down. Rupa, your form will go down. Prajna, your understanding. dhana, your wealth, utsaha, your enthusiasm, all of those go down if you depend on rajasik sukha. So let us see one by one. Bala. I enjoy sense pleasures. I keep enjoying. After a while, it will weaken my. Say I enjoy smoking or enjoy drinking or enjoy going out late night to parties. You know, every Friday, Saturday, I'm up till 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. And then what happens? Next day, I feel weak. I don't feel like doing anything. And constant indulgence in all these things will weaken your strength. Not only your physical strength, but your internal strength. Because overindulgence weakens you internally also. So external and external bala or strength goes down. Then rupa. Rupa, the same thing. You know, if you haven't slept all, gone to bed at 2 in the morning, you wake up, there are bags under your eyes. Or if you have overeaten, you know, then again, your stomach is upset. You know, all those issues of, you know, weight and so on. So then rupa also suffers, you know, overindulgence in anything. Of course, not only alcohol, drugs and all, but even daily things. If you overdo it, it's you know, within reason, it's good. Prajna, your knowledge, your understanding. Because again, the wisdom goes away, what I should do, what I should not do. And sometimes to overindulge, I may not have enough money. So then I may earn money wrongly. My wisdom goes down, do the wrong thing. And we find in Mahatmas, who are these wise people who live a life of self-control, they have great prajna, they have great wisdom. Because their mind is not all the time running into objects, is connected with the self. I'll tell the story of Swami Gangeshwaranandaji. He's a famous saint who lived for 111 years. He was born in 1881 and he gave up his body in 1992. A great saint. Not many people have heard about him. At age 5, he had a vision of God, of Sri Krishna appeared to him. At age 6, he suffered smallpox and became blind in both eyes. Was completely blind, couldn't see anything. And despite this handicap, he learned to read and write. Read means through Braille, and he learned how to write. And his memory was so sharp that a person had to, no matter how complicated mantras from the Vedas, Upanishads, they only had to say it once and he would memorize. And he memorized all the 4 Vedas completely, every word of it, just by listening. That much Medha Shakti he had, the ability to remember. Then he made it his life mission to spread this Vedic knowledge throughout India. And he traveled on foot, later on, you know, bullock cart and so on. And then subsequently in his later years, when cars became available, he would go by car. But most of his life, he traveled on foot and established 14 centers of Vedic excellence throughout the country, where these Vedic knowledge was taught, propagated, and he would give beautiful discourses in Hindi, perfect, you know, about on all the Vedas. And our Puja Gurudev, Swami Chinmayananda, was younger than him, was a great admirer of Swami Gangeshwaranandaji. And one time it so happened that Swami Chinmayananda, this was in the around the 70s or so. And by that time, Swami Chinmayananda had become world famous. He had traveled, given talks, very well known, had set up centers. And Swami Gangeshwaranandaji was going to visit Mumbai, and Swami Chinmayananda was there, and so he invited Swamiji to come to his ashram. Some of you may have been to Bombay, to the Pawai ashram. So when all the arrangements were made and Swami Chinmayananda made sure, Gurudev, that all everything arrangement was perfect, he said, a great Mahatma is coming to visit us. And so they had arranged 2 chairs on the stage. And so he says, why 2 chairs? So, well, one for Swamiji and one for you. He said, no. He said, a great Mahatma is coming. I have no ability to stay at the same level. He sat at his feet. He said, remove this chair. And he massaged his feet when Swami Gangeshwar Anandaji was giving the discourse. So that was the humility of the great master, and that was the glory of that Mahatma who commanded respect from everybody, Amrita, Nanda, Mai, and Ma, and all of the great saints of that time revered him. So the point is that when your mind is directed higher and constantly connected, then even your wisdom becomes better, your memory, your ability to remember. So that's the glory of this knowledge, that your prajna, your memory remains good. Then dhana, even, you know, as we know, if you're overindulging, you know, gambling, all these, even money goes away, you go to Las Vegas, go here, go there, you know, spend even your money. Such people, you ask them to give a small donation, they won't, but, or a gift, but when they go for gambling and all, they'll spend thousands of dollars. So talking about gift reminds me of a little story. So this man asks his friend, he says, you know, do you still have the book I gave you for your birthday last week? He said, yeah, I still have the book you gave me for my birthday last week. Why are you asking? He said, oh, it's due back at the library tomorrow. So that is the kind of Rajasic gift. So the point is that doing all of these things even depletes your wealth. And then the last is Utsaha, Shankaracharya ji said. What is Utsaha? Enthusiasm. Like this person is watching a football game, right? And his team is winning. Wow, wow. He's so happy on TV. Great. We are, you know, kicking butt and all those, you know, things he will say. And then next week, if his team is losing, he's so depressed. 1 week up, 1 week down. In fact, there's a true story. This one guy, his team was losing and he got so mad, he threw his phone at the TV screen and shattered that $2,000 TV, you know, just like that, in anger, and plus damaged his phone. So that is what Utsaha, you know, you have enthusiasm and then enthusiasm goes down. So any of these enjoyments result in loss of all of these, your strength, your form, your wisdom, and you end up doing wrong things. So that's why they say, enjoy sattvic sukha, which we had talked last week. For those of you who are new, there is a website called firstpower.info. The word is one word, firstpower.info. All our previous talks for last 10 plus years are on it. All the entire 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita and also meditation. We also have meditation class from 10:20 to 10:50 before the Gita. So we have finished sloka number 38, where it says Rajasic Sukha causes great loss. Now we'll go to what is Tamasic, or the lowest form of joy, called Tamasic Sukha, which is sloka number 39, chapter 18. Yadagre chanubande cha sukham mohanam atmanah Nitralasya pramadotam. Tamasamudahritam. So last quarter is tamasamudahritam. That is said to be tamasic joy. Tamasic means the lowest kind of joy. Udahritam means is said to be that. And what is that? See, in the sattvic joy, it was hard in the beginning, but good at the end. You know, you worked hard and you... In Rajasic, in the beginning, it's a lot of fun, but at the end, you suffer. In Tamasic, in the beginning and at the end, it is bad only. There is nothing good. So Tat yad agre. Agre means in the beginning. Cha anubandhe cha. Anubandhe means even at the end, even the consequence. So in the beginning it's bad, and even as a consequence it is bad. And sukham mohanam atmanah. Mohanam means it deludes us. Atmana. Atma here does not mean self. Atma here means the mind and intellect. So the mind and intellect get deluded in this kind of enjoyment. And why does it get deluded, and what is the result? Nidra alasya pramad uttam. So this joy of tamasic activity comes from sleep, nidra. Alasya, laziness, and pramad means don't care, heedlessness. Sleep does not mean not to sleep, but we'll talk about that. So this joy comes from delusion. And in tamasic activities, we have covered them before. Things like, you know, drugs, excessive use of drugs, smoking, drinking, all addiction. These are all tamasic activities. And laziness. So as we had studied before, you know, you can have some sattvic, some rajasic, and then maybe some tamasic. Not everybody is pure sattva, not everybody is enlightened. But at least your average should be good, you know, at least a few good, a few medium, few bad. But if all your activities are, especially people who are addicted, then their whole life revolves around addiction. They spend all their money on it, all their time on it, and all their productivity on it. And live a life of laziness, sleep. Sleep does not mean that one should not sleep. A wise person also sleeps, but his sleep is short enough and wakes up fresh. Nidra samadhi sthitihi, Shankaracharya ji says in Shiv Manas Puja, that his, even in his sleep, a wise person is always connected with God, with the self. But this lazy person sleeps for 9 hours, 10 hours. What time is it? It's only 10:30 in the morning. Let me sleep another hour. So excess sleep, and even when he wakes up from sleep, oh, I'm so tired. I have a headache, and you know, I have hangover, all that. So the sleep is also not restful. That is called excessive sleep. And then laziness, you know. Kal karenge, you know, postponing. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next week. I'll do it next month. Even for a month, the work that was supposed to be done last month is not done. Or if it is done, it is done shoddily, because again, you know, last minute he does it. So laziness and nidra alasya. Alasya is laziness, and pramada. Pramada means he does not have the right judgment. Does not have the right understanding of why I should do what and why I should not. So he will do the wrong actions. He will not do it. He will do actions that lower him in his own self and in the self-esteem of others. Doing wrong actions, doing lazy actions, not working. And the best example is Aghasura. You might have heard the story, but in Bhagavan Sri Krishna's life, when he was a young boy, and his uncle Kansa wanted to kill him and had sent various demons, Putana, Bakasura, and even though Krishna was a child, he destroyed them all. And then finally, Kansa sends Aghasura, who was one of his great generals and was the older brother of Putana and Bakasura. And he said, I'm going to take revenge against this little boy. Who does he think he is? And Aghasura had the ability to make himself into a snake. And he makes himself into an 18-foot snake. And he sits against the wall and sits for days and days with his mouth open, looking like a cave. And he said, I'm waiting for Krishna to come and I'll finish him. And so Krishna comes with his friends, you know, the Bal Gopal, because they used to take the cows to feed for grazing, and then so the, after that, as the cows were grazing, these kids would run around and play. You know, cows are busy. We don't have to do anything. Just watch them. So they were running around, and some of the boys said, "Oh, Krishna, look, look, there is a beautiful cave. Let's go inside and see what it is." It was that Agasur's mouth. And Agasur said, "The moment these kids and Krishna come, I'll close my mouth, finish them off." So he was waiting. And then Krishna, even though was a child, immediately recognized that there is some danger here. So as the kids go, they say, "Come on, come on, come on, let's go, let's go." They all run into the cave. And then Krishna immediately realizes this is a demon. So what he does, he makes his form bigger and bigger. And that demon makes his mouth bigger and bigger and bigger. But Krishna is growing so fast that the whole mouth is covered by Krishna's form. And the demon gets choked because no breath is coming. So the point is that that is the tamasic activity where he's lying to wait to destroy little children. So that is called tamasic activity. That is called tamasic sukha, where he's getting joy not out of helping, not out of sense pleasures, but out of destruction, of killing. So that is called tamasic sukha. He was also doing it for joy. You know, oh, I'll take revenge for my brother and sister. That's why Bhagwan Sri Krishna in the sixth chapter says, Yukta Hara Viharasya Yukta Cheshtasya Karmasu Yukta Swapna Vabodasya Yogo Bhavati Dukkha. So he says that in our life, you should have Yukta Ahara Vihara. That means eat balanced. Don't overeat and don't overstarve yourself. Some people torture their body, fasting unnecessarily. That's not good. And overeating is not good either. Then vihara, even travel and fun. You know, some people say, "I just want to travel and have fun." That's good, but too much of that is also not good. Within limits, even all our picnics are pleasurable, should be done within limits. If I have extra time, yes, some time for fun, but then some time for service, for helping the world become a better place, helping others, doing some community service. Yuktahara viharasya, yukta cheshtasya karmasu. Same thing, overwork. You know, people say, "I'm a workaholic. I have to work all day." No, you don't need to. Finish your work and then spend some time with the children, you know, spend some time with the family, spend some time in giving back to society. You know, limit your work. Yukta cheshtasya karmasu. Yukta swapna avabodhasya. Bhagavan says, even sleep and waking should be balanced. Not that you don't sleep at all, only sleep 2 hours and then you are tired all day or oversleep. Yogo bhavati dukkha. So if you want to remove sorrow from your body, do all these. Balanced diet, balanced activity, and balanced sleep. Such is the right way to live. And the tamasic way, we already talked about that. People who sleep excessively, who are lazy, and who are destructive. Now we'll go to shloka number 40, where Bhagavan Sri Krishna tells us that all of us are under the influence of these three gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas. Sattva being knowledge, rajas being activity, and tamas being laziness. And that is for all of us. When you wake up in the morning, if you have had a good night's sleep, your mind is fresh. And that time you do some yoga, meditation, do some prayer, connect your mind with God. That is sattvic. And then you go out to work. You know, that is rajas. And then at night, you're tired, you're ready to sleep, is tamas. So all three are required, but they have to be in balance. That's what Bhagavan says in the sixth chapter. So here in shloka number 40, chapter 18, he says, Natadasti prithivyam va. Divi deveshu va punaha. Sattvam prakriti jair muktam. Yadebhi syatri bhirgunaihi. Together, Nata dasti prithivyam va divi deveshu va punaha sattvam prakriti jairmuktam yadehi syatri birgunaihi. So na tadasti, there is nobody prithivyam in this prithvi, in this earth. Va means or, divi deveshu, or even the gods in the heaven. Va punaha, again Bhagavan says that everything is under the influence of the three gunas, whether it is humans, whether it's plants, animals, birds, fish, even gods in heaven, none of them are free of these three gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas. And here, sattvam prakriti jair muktam. Sattvam here means, does not mean sattva, it means the beings, individual. So whether they're animals, birds, plants, fish, humans, or even gods in heavens, all beings, prakriti jair muktam. All of us are created by prakriti. In the 13th chapter, Bhagavan says that everything is a combination of prakriti and purusha. Prakriti means matter, purusha means spirit. So prakriti is this visible world that we see of the five elements, air, space, fire, water, earth. And purusha is the illuminating principle, the spirit, which gives life. So the whole universe, everything, the cosmos, even the heavens, are a combination of both. If there is no prakriti, there won't be any matter. And if there is no spirit, there won't be any life. So prakriti and purusha, that is the Sankhyan philosophy. So Bhagavan says, everything that you see, whether it's plants, even rocks and stones, are creation of prakriti, five elements. And spirit is the enlivening, which gives life, which is called purusha. So sattvam prakriti jain muktam. So free of prakriti, yadebhi syat tri bhir gunaihi. Free of three gunas, there is nothing. Even a rock has guna. It is tamas, right? It is just sitting there, not moving. Plant is alive, but still has some tamas because it stays in one place. It produces a lot of fruits. It does a lot of activity. It gives shade, but it does not move around. So it stays in one place. Animals, birds, fish have more activity. Humans are the ones who have sattvic capabilities of doing good for themselves and for others. Even among animals, there are sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic animals. Like a cow is considered to be sattvic animal because her whole life is service. Lion and tiger is rajasic, passionate, and tamasic are like hippos and crocodiles and snakes, you know, who are just like hippo just stays in the water, doesn't do much. So all beings have sattva, rajas, and tamas, and nobody is free of them. That's why there is this variety, you know, among us also. There are some people who may be more sattvic, some may be more rajasic. And we are a mixture of all three, sattva, rajas, and tamas. And what proportion we have determines who we are. So Gurudev in his commentary talks about coffee. You know, there are three ingredients in coffee. One is the coffee powder, the milk, and sugar, right? So, and there are different proportions. Like in South India, it's just black coffee. There is no sugar, no milk. Very strong or very minimum amount. In Punjab, all milk. Hardly you can see coffee. They will boil the milk. Little coffee, little sugar. In Gujarat, all sugar. No, hardly any coffee, hardly any milk. You just taste sweetness. So I just a joke. The point is that we are a mixture of those three. Sattva, rajas, and tamas. And that is how there is the variety. That's why foods in India also, you see so much variety, you know, beautiful taste of different. You go to Bengal, you get different food, north, east, west, south. You know, so all the variety of languages, variety of people, and throughout the world, if you travel in all the different cultures, languages, it's so beautiful. And that all variety is because of this mixture of sattva, rajas, and tamas. And that's God's creation. Everything you see, this variety. But how do I get free from these gunas? Because otherwise we say, oh, this world is binding and I want to be free of this. I want to be closer to God. I want to be evolved. I want to be like these great Mahatmas, great, you know, like Swami Gangeshwarananda Ji, Pujya Swami Chinmayananda. How can I also evolve to that level? That is what our scriptures tell us, that ultimately the goal of life is enlightenment. No matter how much you accomplish in this world, you may be a billionaire, millionaire, whatever. But if you have not achieved that, your journey is incomplete and you will have to keep taking birth after birth, go through this until you reach that final goal. And Bhagavad Gita gives us very beautifully the path how to reach that. So they say stay as much as possible in sattva, in sattvic activities, and then go beyond. And how do we go beyond? So in the 14th chapter, Bhagavan gives it very good. He says, Nanya gunebhya kartaram yada drashta anupashyati gunebhyascha param veti madbhavam so adhigacchati. So Bhagavan says, how can you come to me and go beyond these gunas? He says, in these gunas, be aware of drashta, be aware of the seer. So that's what we practice in meditation, that objects are seen by the eyes. Eyes is known by the mind, and the mind comes to know, say if something dangerous is coming or something good, then the intellect judges. But ultimately, the knower is the life consciousness, Atma, God, whatever you want to call the life principle within, which is the witness, which does not do anything but enlivens. It's like electricity does not do anything, but electricity enlivens the bulbs, the heater, the air conditioner, the fridge, the microwave. So each fan, each of these instruments do different activities. Electricity does not do anything, but in the presence of electricity, only they can work. If electricity is shut off, the fan cannot move, the refrigerator cannot cool. So electricity is compared to that life principle, which illumines all of our life, gives us life, but itself does not do anything. But without the presence of God or consciousness within us, we would be just lying, you know, like a piece of flesh and have to be taken to the, you know, cemetery or crematorium. So he says, always in our meditation, we practice that. And actually, when we meditate, we do different techniques. One of the techniques is to be a witness, where I watch my mind, I watch my intellect, I watch my activity. I do all the activities, but my attention, part of my attention is to that drashta, the seer, the witness, the witnessing consciousness. So that way you do all your activities, but do them with detachment. Don't get excessively attached to activities, whether it's activities or a person or a thing. Excessive dependence on anything is bad, whether it's a person or a thing or an object or even a job or a position or power, because nothing is permanent. Today I am a CEO, next day I may be nobody. So excessive attachment or dependence causes sorrow. So that's why they say asangoham, live a life of detachment. Work, do the best, but do not become excessively dependent. Detachment does not mean I don't love my children or my family or my profession or my work, but I don't depend on anything for happiness. I find happiness within. That is sattvic happiness. And that can be done through knowledge, through attachment, through connection with the self, through the right knowledge that you are that self, or it can be done through devotion, through holding on to the Lord. He said, Bhagwan, you are my refuge. I hold on to your feet. So through knowledge or through devotion and complete surrender, where it says, Meri naav tere haatho mein, you take me wherever you want. Bhagwan, I am just an instrument in your hands. And that we have seen, there are so many great saints like Mirabai, Tukaram, Narasimha Mehta, and so many others who just surrendered everything to God, and then God took care of them. And that is difficult, but that you can do, or through the path of knowledge, through listening to teachers like Swami Chinmayananda. You know, this Bhagavad Gita, is an 18-volume set in the office. And if you are interested, you can buy that. And that's what we use to study this in this Bhagavad Gita. So we are on the 18th chapter. When we finish, then we'll restart the first chapter. But this 18th chapter will last another 6 months or so, probably till early next year. And then we'll start the first chapter and do all 18 again. So they say through the path of knowledge or through the path of devotion, love for God, you can connect with God within, which is called Om. In this BMI chart, just to cover for those who are new, I am this body, mind, and intellect. The body is the perceiver of objects. The mind feels the emotions, and the intellect is the thinker of thoughts. So the intellect judges activities, the mind feels the emotions, and the body carries it out. And we represent vasanas, or my desires, my tendencies. And that can be sattvic, rajasic, or tamasic, and my activities accordingly. And then to go beyond that is Om. Om is God. And that is God's presence within, which is symbolized as Om. And that is the life within. So as I progress spiritually, I reduce my desires, vasanas, and get closer to Om, get closer to God. So that's what it says. Detach from the lower and attach to the higher. Puja Guru Dev said, detach from lower tendencies and attach to God. That is spirituality. That is in two lines. Detach from the lower and attach to the higher. So now Bhagavan Sri Krishna in shloka number 41 starts a completely new topic. And that is the four varnas, you know, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So this week and then in next week, he will cover in more detail about this. What are the four castes? There's a lot of misunderstanding about the caste system. People think that untouchability is still there. And it is dying, it is changing, but people still have, even in the media, there is so much negative publicity about caste system. So we'll study a little bit today and then next week. So shloka number 41. Brahmana Kshatriya Visham.
Brahmana Kshatriya Visham.
Shutranam cha parantapa.
Shutranam cha parantapa.
Karmani pravibhaktani.
Karmani pravibhaktani.
Swabhava prabhavair gunaihi. Together.
We were supposed to do 40, right?
Shaan.
We were doing 41.
Tapa.
Are we supposed to read 40?
Yeah, we just finished 40 earlier, where I said that in this universe, everything is made of Prakriti, Nata Dasti Prithivyam. So in the earth, all in the heaven, everything is made of these three gunas. So now we are doing shloka number 41, where Bhagavan gives us the four castes, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. O Parantapa, O Arjuna, there are four castes. But they are not based on birth. And Bhagwan had said in the fourth chapter, Chatur Varna Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhaga Yoho. So here also he says, Karmani Pravibhaktani, means these four castes and Swabhava Prabhavair Gunahi, Swabhava according to the nature of the gunas. So these four castes are based on activity and guna. Your nature and your action has nothing to do with birth. It does not mean that a Brahman's son automatically becomes Brahman or Kshatriya. Unfortunately, that happened in not only in India, but everywhere we find that politician's son, whether he's qualified or not, my son will go into politics and become governor, become president, whether he's actor's son, whether he can act or not. You see that in Bollywood, 90% of actors are because their father was an actor. Nothing to do with ability. It's the same in every field. A businessman, he will give the business to his son, whether usko aata ya nahi aata, whether he knows business or not, and he may ruin the business. But no, I have to give everything to my son. So we find that it has become a family thing. You know, Brahman son will become Brahman, Kshatriya son will become. Kings used to give the kingdom to their son. Again, that guy may be a total incompetent. He may destroy the kingdom. But no, because he is my son or my daughter and so on. So that is wrong. So Bhagavan says, guna karma vibhag, due to the abilities and due to their nature, their aptitude. That is how these four castes were made. So karma means, and we find that in India, they were divided, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. But they are there all over the world. Like, what is the Brahmanas? Brahmanas are the teachers. The teachers, the professors, the priests, you know, the religious people, they are Brahmanas. Then who are Kshatriyas? The leaders, the administrators, the soldiers, the police, you know, they are all Kshatriyas, the warriors. Then Vaishyas are the business people and the farmers. And that is Vaishyas. They are the ones who create wealth. And Shudras are the workers, you know, who say, look, I have no aptitude for business. I don't know what to do. I'm not a leader. You tell me. And in companies also, we find in companies also, there are these thinkers, you know, they call the think tank. Who will plan? Okay, the company right now is here. Where are we going to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now? And they make plans, 1 year plan, 5 year plan, 10 year plan. And they present it to the CEO, and the CEO says, okay, this is a good 5 year plan. Then he will find some administrators, like the managers, you know, vice presidents of the companies. Okay, it's your job to carry out this plan. Come up with a vision, come up with a goal, come up with how you are going to achieve. Okay, then he said, how are we going to get the money? So the finance people, that is the Vaishyas, the business, where they go to the banks, they go to the hedge funds, they go to different people, raise money from investors. We need, you know, $5 million for this project. Where are we? How much? We only have $1 million. So 4 million we have to raise. So those are the finance people. And then the fourth are the people who actually work, you know, the salesmen who go out and sell the product, the secretaries in the office, the janitors, you know, the workers, those. So in every society, all these four are there, the thinkers, the leaders, the business people, finance, and the workers. But unfortunately, in India, this became a birth thing, that my child is automatically Brahman. And it was never meant to be. Bhagavan says, Chaturvarna, and they use that, oh, Chaturvarna Mayak Srishtam. Bhagavan Sri Krishna said, I have made these four castes. But he said, I have made these four castes based on guna and karma, based on your aptitude and based on your actions. It has nothing to do with birth. Nothing. A person, and we find in society so many examples, like Dronacharya, you know, in Mahabharata, he was a Brahmin, but he taught Kshatriyas how to shoot arrow to Arjuna and Bhima and all of them, Duryodhana, taught them warfare, and himself also fought. Buddha was a Kshatriya, was born to a king, was a prince, but he gave everything up, went into the forest, meditated, and taught this knowledge to millions of people. He only taught to a few, but then it spread to billions of Buddhists throughout the world. and a lot of his followers were of the so-called Shudra caste, who became, you know, great monks. So the point is that, and we find some people born in a poor family, but they work hard and they become very successful and they, you know, become CEOs of big companies, you know, ordinary people. Kabir Das Ji was a weaver, but became a great saint, you know, where he combined Hindus and Muslims. So the point is that all of these are, you should not be limited by birth, but on ability and aptitude, and that should decide. And they said there are three P's: produce, preserve, and propagate. So a Brahman's job is to produce knowledge, to get the knowledge, preserve it, and then spread it. So teachers in all of these, the great thinkers, scientists, their job is to create knowledge and spread it. And a business person, his job is to create wealth, produce wealth, preserve and propagate it, and share the wealth. And what is Kshatriya's job in the middle? To protect both. When there is an attack, the warriors have to protect. And that's why Sri Rama, even though he was only 15 or 16, he was taken by Vishwamitra Rishi to destroy the demons who were creating so much trouble. So Kshatriya job is to protect the Brahmanas and the Vaishyas so they can do their work, the business people. And then Shudras is not that one is lower than the other. All four are equally needed in society. If there's only leaders and no workers, no work will be accomplished. That's what they say. If there's all chiefs and no Indians, the work will not happen. So all four are required. All four are equally important. It is unfortunate that society gives importance to one and say this is greater and this is lower. Everybody is equally important. Everybody is required. Everybody has God within, has the divinity within. So that is what we have studied so far, that in society, all four are required, all four are essential, and society cannot function without all four. And it is based on guna and karma and aptitude, not based on birth, based on ability. And ultimately, the most important is the path of knowledge, to know who I am and connect with God within. And somebody asked, Arjuna asked Bhagavan Sri Krishna, he says, if you say the path of knowledge is the best, why don't people choose it? Why don't they come to you? Why don't they go? Why are they working so much in the world? So Bhagavan says, because the result of work is immediate. You know, I go to work, I get a salary, I buy a house, I buy a car. The result is immediate. But if I sit and study Bhagavad Gita, I don't see the result right away. You know, I didn't get anything from an hour, nothing substantial. The result is slow and it is gradual, but it is long lasting. All the worldly things, the result is temporary. You get it, and you will lose it. But the result of this knowledge is not only beneficial in this life, but will carry on in lifetime after lifetime. So that's why. And we find that same thing in Balvihar. You know, you take your son or daughter for tennis lesson. Okay, within 6 months, they're hitting the ball well, or piano lesson. He's playing the piano very well, violin. But you bring him to Balvihar for 3 years. You say, I don't see how it is helping. But that help, benefit is long-term. What the knowledge the child will carry from these 12 years, which Swami Chinmayananda is the one who gave us this curriculum, will help that child throughout life. Because the values they get, the qualities they get, the right understanding. So the spiritual knowledge, the result is slow. It's not immediate. And that's why people want quick results. They say, you know, they say you should fast. How many Mondays should I fast, you know? Or how many Tuesdays should I do the puja? It doesn't happen like that. Or I gave up sweets for 1 year. Now can I? No. So whatever you, the spiritual path is slow, but the results are long lasting. while worldly success is good, we're not saying that one should not have, but not get too bound because that is temporary. Jo aaya hai, wo jayega. Whatever has come will go, but the permanent is Om, God, and that is what we hold on to. So here today we have talked about the joy that we get from sattvic, rajasic and tamasic activities and the four varnas, sattva, rajas, brahman, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, and everybody is bound by prakriti, by nature, by these three gunas. Nobody is free. So next week we'll study more about the qualities of brahmanas, kshatriyas and vaishyas. So thank you very much. We have about 10 minutes. If anybody has any questions or comments, please feel free. Anything if it's not clear or if you would like to add anything. Where is the gallery view? Clicking, but it's not good. Remove pin. Yeah, thank you. Anybody would like to add anything? Any questions, comments?
Anilji,
yes, go ahead.
Next week, can the camera focus on the board on which you write your talking points?
Yeah, we take pictures of that and then we post it on the first power. The camera cannot focus on two things at the same time.
Okay.
Focuses. I can shift to that, but then you won't be able to see me. But if you re-listen to the talk, Amit has been putting that board on the website. It's called firstpower.info.
And the second thing is, yes. Did you happen to get my check yet?
Not for this month, but every month before that we have got. Thank you.
I don't know what happened because I sent it, I think, from here on March 1st. Not March 1st, April 1st.
Yeah, I'll check with Neeru. We'll call you or text you. I don't think we got it, but I'll ask her.
I'll appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you, Umaji. Thank you so much. Any other questions, comments? Ansa, you would like to add anything?
I think the caste system is the biggest,
little loud, yeah.
The caste system is the biggest question in Western countries.
Right.
Of course, in India too. But it's there is no more degrading or lower higher.
Yes.
It's true. But it's a human nature to look down upon people who work, clean your feet or clean your floor and different, which is where we have to change our mindset.
Yes.
Every individual has to look at that as a labor of love, no matter what, where you are placed. Because it is probably, you can say, the three gunas are in different proportion and different people in four group of people. So some people can only do labor work or, gardening work or something like that. And some people are very good in calculation, like me. I would never calculate that. I'd rather be a gardener than be that. So things like that. So it's how your mind is made up. That's how human bodies work out. So I think it's idea we put in the people's mind that you are lower or higher. That we need to work on that. Gita clearly says there's no difference, but I think human beings decided to not respect the people who are working.
Right.
So we need to change our mindset to look at them differently.
Thank you.
That's what I look at it.
Yeah, very good. I'll just...
If I tell my own story, I come from the lowest class in India. So when I went to England, because I was interested in drifting, I had to go to one cultural center party with the bond regularly. So that chairman of that place, we're talking about one day I come in here, he says, no, he wants to do puja for me to come here. So he asked me what my caste was. I told what I was. So he says, no, you're not that, you're Brahmin. That's because I was interested in learning and talking about it. So in other words, as he says, by birth, you don't become what you are. So I was born in the lowest caste. But so you intellectually or whatever, I think how your mind works to think about things, that's how you grow. So we need to learn to respect the person who is entered today. We're still learning. So, you know, I think we decide to do that, we put them down. I mean, we can blame any other country. India blames Britishers to do that to us,
right,
which is true, but it is our weakness too that we did it.
Yes. I'll just translate for the people on Zoom. Hansa said it very nicely that no job is superior or inferior. It is our wrong understanding that we say, oh, this job is inferior and this person is inferior and I'm superior. And then we blame society, we blame others, but we have to change our own thinking. And she talked about herself, that she was born in what was considered a lower caste. Then she became a doctor and she became a student of Vedanta and studied so much. And the Panditji who was doing puja asked her caste and he said, no, you are not that caste, you are a Brahmin. So the point is that nobody is born. It is based on qualities and based on karmas, based on activity. Thank you for that. Yes, in the back and then here. Go ahead.
So what I
learn
actually, what I know. So Brahman means in Sanskrit is Brahman Janaki.
Yes, very good.
Who knows the Brahma?
Right. The Brahma. Very nice.
Yeah, that's what I know. So we interpret in our way. Actually, it is not like that.
Right.
But that way, so many Brahmins are not Brahman.
Right. It's not. It's not by birth. Brahmani charati iti or Brahman janati. Yeah. So if the one who knows Brahman is Brahman, and that we'll be talking in next week in more detail. Absolutely right. So Brahman is not by birth, but one whose mind is always in Brahman. Whose mind is always in that. Yeah, Carmen, you have a question?
Yeah, once this comment just had me thinking, like, perhaps, like, the caste system is helpful because, like, it helps us reflect more on the human condition, like, the ego's natural, like, tendencies to judge. And even though it's, like, I feel like this whole thing can go outside of the country and the culture. Like, it pervades everywhere in the human condition. Caste system or not, like, I think that people just have a tendency to look down on each other. So I think the fact that India has the caste system that makes us reflect is just kind of like a tangible way of saying, like, hey, we all judge.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's very helpful.
Yeah, thank you so much. So Carmen said that this is a tendency on humans to judge others and put others down. And we blame India. Yes, in India, it is formalized, but it is there throughout the world. So we have to look within as how am I judging others and where do I fall? Nobody is superior or inferior. Everybody is a creation of God. You know, everybody is that. So thank you for those comments. Anything else? Lata, any question you have? No.
Well, there are examples like here in today's society. Just what happened in Tennessee. Those right. Two black lawmakers were thrown out. What is that? Racism is what?
Right. Racism.
That's what... That's what it is, isn't it?
Right. So true.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We'll end now if there's no more comments. See you next week. And we'll go into the main hall where we'll do the aarti. Umaji will look into, I don't know if we can get another camera, but definitely you can on the website. You next week, it will be there. So if you listen to the talk again in a couple of days, there will be a picture of the board also.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Hari Om.
Yeah, I can send that picture that I gave it to.
No. What she's talking about is the board every week. Yeah, every week. The BMI chart picture, he will post on that. We will post the BMI chart on the first power. If you go to firstpower.info, all the talks are there. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchid Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi, Hari Om Shri Guru Pyodha, Hari Om. Thank you all for joining, for your comments. Thank you.